James Romer with us. Jim Romer doing so much on the different parts of commodities and linking them into weather. There's a thing called a CTA, which is this linkage of long cycle commodities where you get on the trade and you go with it based off bigger weather. Jim Romer, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. It's a long time.
We're awash in wheat, but you say La Nina could be a challenge. Now, am I right? La Nina is associated with a southern hemisphere oscillation?
Yeah, basically we're seeing a reversal in temperatures across the Pacific. El Nino might be the media darling, you know, climate phenomenon, but its sister, El Nino's sister, is called La Nina, and it's responsible for particularly grain disruption versus El Nino that affects more soft commodities.
I mean, La Nina, N-I-N-A, with the thingy over the second end. La Nina is about Argentina and Brazil. What say you on wheat? I mean, I'm right. Wheat's depressed going from 800 down to 400, right?
Yeah, we've had 5 to 6 years of back-to-back surpluses around the world. I don't think we're going to see 7 or 8. I think the chances are pretty high by next spring we're going to see a reduction in the wheat crop across the United States, perhaps over in Russia and Europe. You know, Russia continues to see their technology of farming after all these years really improve. We've seen trendline yields of wheat up 29%. That's trendline over the last several years in Russia, and they've just been kind of haunting the market with the exports. And also, you know, just we've had a glut, and we just need to see commercial companies, not just speculators, begin to panic, and that may not happen until next spring and summer.
Jim, geographically then, you brought up Russia, Eastern Europe, a big grain producer as well, the likes of Ukraine, etc. Do you see a geographical breakdown, a fragmentation between areas of, say, Eastern Europe and Russia, which is producing lots and lots of wheat compared to what's happening in the Americas?
Well, I mean, their technology has been improving, and just 1 year after the next, and, I guess... if we have a drought in the United States next spring and summer, which is possible, it will put the brakes on wheat. But we really have to see a breakdown in their above-normal trendline yields to really get a major bull market. You know, with soybeans and corn in the summer, you just have the Midwest to really be concerned about. And in the winter, you have South America. With wheat, we have to watch the weather in 5 or 6 countries to really begin to eat into and dent the surplus that we have right now. So that is a possibility.
Yeah.
Australia, for example, right now is getting really too wet. They're going to see their harvest begin to be affected the next 3 to 4 weeks. Argentina's have below normal yields. So we get some problems in the United States and Russia over the next 6 to 9 months. Then we will begin to see wheat probably rally at some point.
Jim, for many people that don't follow commodities like you do, soybeans came up for a lot of people several quarters ago because exports exploded in the United States and it fed all the way through to a nice GDP print for the U.S. What's happening there?
Yeah, you know, there's been a seasonal 15 years in a row for soybean prices to go up, usually late November through December, just on demand. I mean, China is just an incredible importer right now. Also, with La Nina, it's possible we'll see palm oil production drop over the next 6 months. That may affect palm oil over in Malaysia. But I don't think this particular La Nina is going to see a severe drought in Argentina and southern Brazil. It is dry right now in Argentina. But most of Brazil, from our research, is going to have above-normal trendline yields. So I can't say with a great deal of certainty right now from a weather perspective the next 2 or 3 months we're going into a major bull market in soybeans.
Jim, for the commodity market and for global growth in general, what we see right now for the backdrop is this really nice pickup, synchronized global growth. But a real conversation for commodities about whether the commodity intensiveness of global GDP has changed, whether it's rolled over to some extent. Do you see that, and does that same theory apply to soft commodities as well?
That's a good question. I mean, we're certainly seeing that happening in some of the precious metals markets and some non-weather ag commodities, certainly with a stronger economy and China picking up and everything. But to get these ag markets, sugar, cocoa, the grains, et cetera, we need something more than just, you know, some demand from China and Eastern Asia. We have to see a supply disruption.
Well,
typically, we see that with the soft commodities, with El Nino, we saw sugar and cocoa soar 2 years ago. The most likely scenario would be grains, particularly
right.
In the spring and summer.
But is the template, Jim Romer, for you, what we've seen for, I'm going to say, 50 years, maybe 40 years, which is technology drives a greater supply? And so there's a built-in disinflation to commodity prices. Is that?
That's a really good question. I mean, look what happened. We have one of the hottest, driest Junes on record when corn prices spiked this last June, only to find out 3 months later we've had record yields for corn. That's technology. That's hybrids. That's herbicides. That's new farming equipment. So, you know, going back and looking at analogs, I love to look at different years and compare them to cycles of weather. But you're right. Technology's improved. Look what's been going on in Russia. They've really, really increased yields a lot the last few years. And that makes it difficult sometimes to, you know, to really get a grasp on what may happen with weather versus production, at times.
Did commodities trend, like you and I, when we read our Cohen years ago in our other commodity textbooks, do they still trend?
Well, yeah, they certainly have. I mean, you've seen a lot of hedge funds really take it on the chin over the last couple of years. But
why is that?
A major trending mark. Some of them have gotten way too big. They're not nimble enough. They can't get in and get out of markets. And many of them were just bullish everything and not looking at production and weather, just looking at demand and probably charts. But look, I think the point is we had a major trending market for 2 years long sugar. Then we've seen a rebound in production the last nine months. Sugar's trended down. We've saw great trending markets in cocoa. Grains are all over the place. They've been more difficult. But some of the soft commodities really have been trending. Natural gas has been very, very difficult. You know, we may end up having a cold winter. Maybe natural gas price will rally. But right now we have no snow cover across the United States. And that's putting a dent into this cold potential weather air mass we see the next few weeks. So the softs have been trending more than anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, wheat's been trending lower. I mean, that's been a major bear market. I was a little bit fooled about wheat, you know, because I've seen some crop problems in some countries over the last, you know, year or so. But we just, Russia's technology and some of the other, in Eastern Asia's technology, has really improved yields, and that has put a kind of this glut into the wheat market. I think that will begin to come down over the next 6 to 9 months.
Jim Rohmer, thanks for the clinic with Best Weather this morning. John, I love doing that. I mean, you know, recently we haven't done that much with Mr. Rohmer, but it's amazing the linkage of these larger weather patterns. I was